Up next, we're going to hear from Desiree Hellegers. She's speaking by phone with Lexi Peterson-Burge of the Vancouver-based Noble Foundation about racism at Clark College and why that organization decided to pull a conference out of it amidst the racial climate there.
Today is Lexi Peterson-Burge, and she is the program coordinator for the Noble Foundation, hereafter to be referred to as TNF. Lexi, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So you've been coordinating a conference that was scheduled to happen at Clark College on November 2nd, and you all have kind of pulled the plug on that conference. Can you talk a little bit about that decision?
I have been coordinating through TNF Southwest Washington Social Justice Conference. This is supposed to be the first conference that was organized by community for community in a grassroots fashion through grant funding. And we were scheduled to have it at Clark College November 2nd, as you mentioned. Basically just a community forum, very similar in traditional conference structure, but with workshops and lunch and networking and maybe a panel discussion or a keynote speaker. But mainly it was to bring communities of color and marginalized community members in Southwest Washington together in one space to not only network, but to build affinity with one another and start, you know, really talking about how to address, how community would like to address racism and systemic oppression in our areas, specifically in Vancouver, Longview, Kelso. So we ended up on August 30th having to announce that we were going to withdraw from having our conference held at Clark College due to the release of a week or so prior of an announcement regarding a lawsuit that was happening from Clark College Foundation, which is the nonprofit that runs Clark College's external funding, against Molly Solomon, who is a reporter for OPB, in response to a series of articles that had been written by Molly on behalf of OPB in regards to social equity and
really the struggles around diversity and racism at Clark College.
Correct. Exactly. It was not an easy decision to make, but being as though we stand with community, by community, for community, we didn't feel that it was appropriate to work with an institution that was comfortable pursuing any sort of legal action against a woman of color.
Molly Solomon being Native Hawaiian.
Correct. Specifically around those reportings being about issues that were very relevant to the vulnerable communities.
So essentially, as I understand it, Molly Solomon was filing a public records request in connection with the series of stories that she'd been doing about, you know, racism, institutional racism at Clark College. She filed a public records request with the Clark College Foundation to get some email correspondence, and they turned around and sued both OPB and Molly Solomon.
Correct.
So basically, the Clark College Foundation is filed an injunction against OPB to stop them from getting access to those records.
Correct. So it was mentioned from the foundation spokesperson, Rhonda Morin, that, and I quote, the organization had an ethical obligation, basically wanting to ensure that donors remained private, which was, you know, the supposed reasoning behind filing this injunction.
It's generated some interesting visibility for this whole, fight to keep their records private. And I know that one of the arguments that OPB is making is essentially that the Clark College Foundation draws off of the, you know, the server at Clark College, and that they are pretty tightly connected to Clark College, and therefore they don't really meet the threshold for a private foundation to be able to keep those records secret.
Correct.
So you decided basically to pull the plug on the conference, and you're looking now for a new location in which to hold it.
We're in a process right now of kind of wanting to step back and reevaluate. Part of TNF's structure and how we function is that we definitely speak to community first. It is grassroots based, meaning community upwards. So really what it's looking like is reevaluating with community and some of our you know, coalition, other nonprofit partners in the area. So it definitely is in limbo. There's no rescheduled date at this time, nor rescheduled location at this time. It's something that we're going to have to build out and make sure that community is comfortable with where and how it's being held.
And again, TNF is the Noble Foundation, and you've been very intimately connected to Southwest Washington Communities United for Change, which has also been involved in this broader coalition of communities of color. Coalition to try to address systemic racism in Vancouver and Southwest Washington more broadly. So, Lexi, you've kind of had this longstanding connection to some of these issues at Clark College.
I started at Clark College as a Running Start student when I was 16, fall of 2010, I believe. within my first couple of days on that campus, I had a white nationalist neo-Nazi walk up to me on campus and hand me a flyer. And this flyer had all of these statistics, as I air quote, on them that were pretty horrific and pretty graphic and wildly inaccurate. Nevertheless, you know, I felt pretty targeted out and singled out. And at that point in time at Clark College, we did not have a diversity center. There was not a social equity plan. There was no social equity statement or action plan. A lot of the roles in administrative and executive levels now that are devoted towards diversity, social equity, and inclusion at Clark College were not developed at that point in time. So there was really nowhere for this to be addressed or for me to go as a very, very young student on a college campus. There were a couple of student clubs that actually, Queer Penguins and Allies at the time, which is now the Queer Straight Alliance of Clark College, was a big part of the organization that kind of built and mobilized the college to start implementing these things that they do have now. But at the time, it got very hostile on campus. There was a point in time where we were having students that were students of color, specifically women of color, being shoved into their cars, having backpacks ripped off of their back by these white nationalist students who were very open, swastika tattooed, you know, walking around this campus. And the college's response to the flyers initially was that they were freedom of speech and they were, you know, allowed to be posted. And it was a very confusing time for me, especially as a young student there, because we had no structure as to how this was to be addressed. And there were people that, you know, we did not feel safe. And we had to walk in pairs to our cars if we were taking night classes or if we were taking classes during daylight saving times, which this was in the fall. So, of course, that was happening. We ended up having a forum where we invited the white nationalists to come speak openly at Clark. And that was kind of the beginning of my involvement with diversity, inclusion, social equity, and addressing systemic oppressions and racism within Clark College specifically as a student. And that relationship with Clark I have had on and off throughout the years up until, I would say, the beginning of 2019 when I kind of stepped back.
Yeah, so we're talking about off and on since 2010. So,
correct. Yeah. Throughout those years, I've seen a lot of positive change from Clark. I definitely don't want to discredit the amount of work that a lot of the students and faculty have done to get, you know, what Clark does have now in place there. That being said, though, they definitely do have a long way to go. And historically, as I've seen it, as someone who is very closely ingrained in this work at Clark and has been heavily involved, it feels somewhat like they take a few steps forward to take a leap or a bound backwards. And this is no different. This injunction being filed is no different of an example.
Yeah, and again, I mean, it's directed, you know, not simply at OPB, but at Molly Solomon herself.
Mm-hmm. And that specifically is what, you know, I personally can say for me was my initial huge discomfort. And I feel comfortable speaking for the Noble Foundation as well, that our biggest issue, aside from it being a broader example of systemic racism and inequity, that specifically this is targeted towards a woman of color. And Clark College's history with women of color, especially more recently, has been one that not only Molly Solomon has shed light on, but, you know, a few of us students as well as other faculty, women of color, have shed light on as well. I would hope that it would be of no surprise to the community that Clark College's relationship with women of color has been struggling for, I personally can speak, for as long as I have been attending and been involved with Clark College, and more rampantly this past year.
And specifically this past year was the year that we saw the departure of seven women of color on the faculty.
Correct.
And staff who left in the course of a single year.
And very rapidly. I mean, as a student, I can say that I had left Clark College for a few years and came back to find that the women that I had built relationships with that had facilitated my growth as a student, my growth in social justice, have, you know, helped and supported me through navigating a very weird and difficult time in my life, especially as a queer woman of color who was living in Southwest Washington, to find them all gone.
Yeah, and those departures included Dolly England, who at one point was a commissioner in the Washington Commission of African Americans.
Yes, along with a few other women who have been very integral parts of Clark College's building of all of these initiatives, who were overlooked and, quite frankly, wrongly not given recognition for a lot of the work that they had been doing to make Clark College a, a more inclusive space. I mean, I can definitely speak from my personal experience in saying that people who have been internally in Clark, you know, faculty and staff that have been working on these initiatives at Clark College have not been being pushed up into higher levels and higher positions of being able to have some sort of institutional power in these types of initiatives. And I think that these were very, very qualified women who were doing the work and pushing the initiatives.
And then getting penalized for pushing the initiatives, essentially.
Correct. And also, and not just penalized, but not recognized as well as not given the opportunity to grow and expand in their, you know, careers as well, to be able to push that work forward on a more executive level.
I just want to note too that, I mean, this is happening within the context of far broader issues related to, you know, racism and police violence, the shooting, the lethal shootings of three people of color just, I think, since about late last year. So we've seen kind of an escalation of lethal police violence against people of color, including 16-year-old Clayton Joseph, who was a Micronesian student who just arrived in Vancouver very recently. He was a high school student, I think, at Evergreen.
Yeah.
So this is kind of part of this broader climate of racism that people of color are really struggling with in Southwest Washington. I think it's important to note that sometimes we hear this sort of glib stuff in Portland where Patriot Prayer is over here. It's like, you know, send them back to Vancouver, as if there isn't a struggling community of, you know, people of color over there who are, you know, fighting and organizing and contending with this, exactly this kind of violence and racism.
Correct. And that is something that I don't think is being, you know, as broadly recognized, is that, like, the idea of systemic oppression and specifically racism within Southwest Washington communities is integral.
I mean, I think we also have to note that a lot of people are being gentrified out of Portland into Vancouver. So our communities are, you know, very, very porous, right? But mostly it's people of color who are being gentrified out of Portland, many of whom are moving to Vancouver and then encountering this kind of climate on the other side of the bridge. And so there is a responsibility for, you know, people in Portland to also be kind of mobilizing as allies and thinking more critically about these issues.
Correct.
And there's a parallel kind of gentrification now going on in Vancouver as well. And a lot of people are being pushed up into Kelso Longview. And there's, you know, that is a really embattled region with respect to racism. So we're just about running out of time, but I'd love if you can tell us how folks can get in touch with the Noble Foundation, how they can plug into the organizing that's going on in Southwest Washington Communities United for Change, how people can support the organizing that you're engaged in.
Yes, yes. So we are very active on Facebook and social media. That's probably the best way to contact us. You can find us on Facebook, just the Noble Foundation. There is contact information directly. You know, send us a message. We are constantly posting on what we're doing, community events. If there is a fair we're attending or anything of that nature, where community is obviously always welcome and we want community to be engaged, please go check it out there. And someone will answer your questions. We'll be more than happy to provide you with information. As well as the Noble Foundation, you can also reach out to Southwest Washington Communities United for Change, which is also very active on Facebook and Instagram. Please reach out to their organizers as well. The goal here is to just get as many people in this area and as you mentioned as well, you know, from the Portland and metro area to get involved in pushing these initiatives and this work forward. As I mentioned prior, we are very grassroots based, and there will never be a point in time where the Noble Foundation speaks for community. I am not an ambassador for all of the marginalized community in Southwest Washington. We need community voice to create community change. So it's very important that if you're interested or anyone that's listening is interested to reach out and find a way to get involved, and we definitely could use the support.
And is it fair to say that Southwest Washington educational institutions in general need to really be working on diversity and equity? This isn't just a completely isolated incident, right? These are priorities that need to be taken up across the board.
Entirely.
And we will check back with you definitely to find out more once you've rescheduled the conference. You know, we definitely want to plug that. So we hope to talk to you again soon. And my guest today has been Lexi Peterson-Burge with the Noble Foundation and Southwest Washington Communities United for Change. Thank you so much for talking with me, Lexi.
Thanks for having me.
Just a heads up to our listeners that when we post this story, we will include links to some of Molly Solomon's excellent and extensive reporting for OPB about the racial climate at Clark College. This has been Desiree Elligers for the Oldmoor Variety Hour.